Sarah, thanks for joining us on Full Story.
Thanks for having me, Nora.
Doug, it's great to have you back.
Yeah, it's always good to be here. Thank you.
There are now more than 240 diphtheria cases across numerous states and territories. How widespread is this outbreak and how many cases are being reported?
These numbers are unheard of in Australia, in modern Australia. Like, we've seen the majority of those cases being recorded across Northern Australia and in the Northern Territory. So it's really concentrated in across that Northern Australia part in the NT, Western Australia, and growing clusters in Queensland. And it's concentrated in the remote communities of places like the Kimberley and the Pilbara and the Goldfields.
Mm. This is a disease that is generally considered rare in Australia, uncommon, but it is endemic in other parts of the world in developing countries, which makes it pretty shocking that there is this outbreak that is now happening across remote Indigenous communities. What do we know about how this outbreak started and why it's spreading so fast?
I've spoke specifically with the Yuendumu community, and I spoke to a few locals there the other day. Why it's spreading is also because of poverty, the conditions that people are living in, you know, with the overcrowding of houses, you know, not having access to the basics of like water and being able to live in a hygienic household. And they're not really getting directions from public health officials. I would say, from what I've learned anyway, from the people that I've spoke to, that there's no real direction on, you know, what happens after they either get a vaccination or they're tested for diphtheria. It's sort of business as usual in a lot of the remote communities in the Northern Territory and the other states surrounding where this is also spreading to. So, and they're not really sure themselves what this is because they haven't really been told enough about it.
Doug, tell me more about that, because you've been reporting on what is happening in Yuendumu, which is outside of Alice Springs.
Yeah, like they got one health clinic there. It sort of started there. They would tell me it would have been around early April is when they were aware that something was actually going on, because people in those communities would say that, you know, the Royal Flying Doctor comes in once a week. That's the usual. But it started coming in every day and no one really knew why the Royal Flying Doctor was coming in, and they were like, okay, something's here. And then one of the blokes that I spoke to, he went to the health clinic for a health checkup. And while he was there, the nurse told him that there is this thing called diphtheria and it's sort of spreading across the NT right now. And he got tested for it. They told him about it. They informed him what it was. And then it sort of just leaked from the clinic. So there was no actual public health messaging. The community actually had to figure it out for themselves that there was an outbreak of diphtheria spreading throughout the NT. And then they started talking about it a bit more. And now people are asking questions about like, hey, okay, why weren't we actually told about this by the government? Why wasn't there more awareness around this or anything like that? And then in that community, Yuendumu, what I've heard from multiple people is that there is no hand sanitizer at the local health clinic or at the shop or anywhere. There's no directions from NT health nurses or anything like that to say, we're going to test you for diphtheria. You got to go home and isolate. You can't be in contact with people. People are not being told that. They're just being told, okay, we'll test you for diphtheria. Wait 3 weeks for your result in Yuendumu and we'll let you know if you have it or not. There's no strict rules around this right now and there's not enough information about it in Yuendumu. The NT government or NT health, their responses have been a bit patchy to me and other media, I think. And it's hard to sort of, because we don't know enough about this, because I'm not getting that information myself from government officials or anything like that.
Mm, that's something that's really come through to people that I'm speaking to as well in Western Australia, in, you know, places like Halls Creek and Queensland, where clinicians themselves haven't seen this for decades and decades. They don't really know what they're looking for. You know, there's a lot of different symptoms that it can mimic that could be something else. So they're kind of familiarizing themselves with what the disease is and what the plan is. But like Doug said, there's no ability for people to isolate in their houses because people have got their kids and their family members and people staying there. So there's nowhere for them to isolate. You know, you've got people sleeping in the lounge room, in bedrooms, 10, 15 people to a house, some cases. And something that's really come through is just how the Aboriginal controlled community sector has been pushing this. You know, they've been putting out information since the start of this year, you know, April, over the summer, these cases started popping up and we really didn't see anything from the federal or state authorities since, you know, a month or two ago.
Sarah, I want to take a step back. You mentioned there that even health professionals, because they haven't really dealt with this disease very much in the past and aren't sure what to look out for, can you tell us what does this disease do to the body? What are the symptoms?
Yeah. So it's symptoms, like the cutaneous diphtheria is the one that's kind of spreading the most, and that can kind of look like sores or lesions on the body that aren't healing. And then there's respiratory diphtheria, which, you know, has sore throat and like a thick coating, you know, hurts to swallow, general feelings of unwell, things like that. So, you know, if you're not kind of thinking that this thing is out there, then you might not automatically make the leap that it's diphtheria. So that's something that doctors and clinicians and people in these medical centres are having to really be alert for now. And a lot of people in community, they don't really know what it is. Vaccination levels have dropped off a little bit since we saw that, and Aboriginal communities have always had extremely high rates of vaccination, and they still do, but there has been a little bit of, I guess, to get vaccinated now, and that's something that clinicians are kind of having to push up against and really build trust in communities again after, you know, the pandemic and COVID and things like that.
How is this treated?
So it's usually treated by, you know, going to the clinic and getting tested, and then if they suspect it, getting a course of antibiotics, and that can take away. But it's also making sure that you're up to date with your vaccinations. And there is a very high rate of vaccinations in Aboriginal communities. I think it's over 90% per childhood vaccinations. And then there's boosters at school age, and I think it's 4 and 5. And so they're really encouraging people that are in the kind of adult range or teenage range and adults that may have missed out on vaccinations to get vaccinated.
Mm. It was declared a communicable disease of national significance last month. That declaration is supposed to enable better coordination between federal and state and territory governments to stop the spread of diphtheria. Do we know what that's involved and how that's going?
Well, there's been a push, I think it's $7 million in federal funding, which is really supposed to get on the front foot of this, or I guess the back foot now that it's kind of spread, to ramp up vaccination efforts, to really work with community-controlled health organisations and ramp up vaccination efforts. But a lot of people that I spoke to, they didn't even know that this funding was out there. You know, they were really worried about COVID-era funding ending. So one clinic that I spoke to in Halls Creek, their dedicated vaccination officer, who has been funded for the past 5 years, is actually ending this month, right at when the diphtheria is really ramping up. So they were extremely concerned, and there just hasn't been any kind of confirmation about how this is working. So I think people are still trying to iron out the kinks, and really it's about supporting Aboriginal controlled community organisations to get the message out there and step up vaccination efforts. And we're seeing a lot of clinics and pop-up centres being set up in MT and WA. I think in Kununurra they've kind of turned basketball centres and things like that into clinics where people can go and get vaccinated. So I think it's starting to see that effort, which is really great to see.
Doug, from your reporting, it seems that in some places that public health messaging is not making it out to the community. Did you get a sense of how the vaccination effort is going in these remote communities in the NT?
I don't think there is much of an effort. Like, there is an effort, of course, and I know that in Yuendumu there was a vaccination van that arrived there a few weeks ago, and I think they'd done a few different vaccinations. I mean, people are being encouraged to check their immunisation status, because this is not something that's in the back of people's mind. This is a bit of an ancient disease, right? And so there's no real information. Well, I didn't get any information on, I guess, how many people were vaccinated. And so with this package that's come out now, as Sarah mentioned, there's, you know, money going towards Aboriginal community-controlled health organisations and to do a bit more community outreach. But, like, from what I've gathered so far from the people that I've spoke to, there's no public health messaging around this. And that's something that I think is very important to have, because, you know, when people live out bush in remote communities, not everyone has a phone as well, and not everyone has access to internet and mm-hmm. those kinds of things where we would normally get our, you know, information from. They sort of see it differently out there. It's like, you know, back in time out in remote communities. So going to a local shop and seeing a message there, you know, here's some hand sanitizer, like just those you know, like when COVID was here, is always wash your hands and have masks on. Like, there's no personal protective equipment for people there as well. I asked them, so like, what else is this health clinic doing for you in Yuendamu? Not much. You know, someone actually said to me, if I wanted to catch diphtheria, I would go to the clinic.
Mm.
And that was, yeah, one of the locals there that I was speaking with, because it's in a bit of an unsanitary state as well. That local health clinic down in Yuendamu is what I've been told. And people aren't really being encouraged to do all those normal practices that, you know, you and I would do for trying to avoid something like either COVID or something that's spreading rapidly throughout communities.
Yeah, in some ways, this is almost like COVID. It's spread through close contact with an infected person. Will things like PPE and hand sanitizer be enough to stop the spread?
I think those are the bare minimum of what should be available to people in these communities, because coughing on people, if you've got a mask on, less likely for that to travel and to affect the next person. But yeah, again, I would go back to, you know, living in these overcrowded situations as well, which is as much as you have PPE, as much as you have hand sanitizer, it's still hard to isolate and not interact with each other. But there's all these other factors as well that, you know, living remotely is having the lack of access to top healthcare.
You mentioned there, Doug, that it's an ancient disease. It's been around for many, many years, but in Australia has been almost completely eradicated. There are the occasional cases that have cropped up, but usually they're imported from overseas. Sarah, I wonder if the sense of urgency would be different if this was spreading in metropolitan areas.
I think the fact that we haven't seen the real kind of media and government, you know, daily presses and things like that, it is a sign that the attention just isn't there, because it's almost out of sight, out of mind. And, you know, you've got health authorities that are saying that the general population has nothing to worry about. Well, you know, Indigenous communities, this is a very real threat. You know, there's a lot of comorbidities here. A lot of people have pre-existing health conditions, which make them extremely vulnerable to the disease. So I think there does need to be more of an effort shown on this from health authorities, from media, from governments. I think we've obviously started to see this really being ramped up in the last month or two, but, you know, for the last several months, communities have just been on their own trying to get this health messaging out. And I think when you're contending with under-resourced, understaffed clinics, overcrowded housing, you know, lack of funding, already stretched resources that are, you know, running off the smell of an oily rag, this is a really tough situation for them to be in. And then when you've got people whose language is, you know, maybe third or fifth English, and they're kind of seeing all these very complicated medical jargon, this is having to be translated by communities themselves to be put into something that people can recognise and see, like, oh, if they're at the shops, they're at the community store, like, this is something that we need to be aware of and be alert to.
And one thing that I am not seeing is just the updated number from NT Health saying, hey, this is the number of cases that we have today. It's hard to track the number of cases because there's also that three-week gap between being tested for it and then people going out and spreading it even further. And I asked NT Health last week for updated numbers. They haven't replied to me, haven't responded to me. So I don't know what the most updated number of cases. It could be well over 240. It could be way above that, but we just don't know.
We'll be right back.